Hands up whoever says anything really stupid to somebody, something really inappropriate. Whoever? Just me, is it? All right, no, it's all right, okay. I remember a bloke I was working with, I came into the staff room and he was looking particularly miserable. And I said, don't worry, it'll never happen. And he looked up at me and he just said, it already has. He had a very good reason for appearing to be sad. Well, here's Joseph. It's already happened, isn't it? He must be absolutely stunned. And the angel comes and says, there's no need to be scared, Joseph. And yet, the situation, he is absolutely shell-shocked. He finds now the situation he's in. He wasn't a qualified gynecologist, but he knew full well that by definition, virgins can't have babies. They can't conceive. So this is ridiculous news that Mary is telling him. The angel's been dispatched from heaven precisely to see Joseph because he's on the verge of ending the betrothal. Now, the Jewish situation was in the first century. There were three stages to marriage. The first stage was engagement, a bit like today, I suppose, where you kind of promised you'd marry each other, but you could back out. If you backed out, there was a loss of respect in the community and society, but you could back out. The second stage then was betrothal, which happened 1 year before the actual marriage. And this was a legally binding thing. Joseph and Mary were now called husband and wife, except they didn't live together. But they were called, she was called Mrs. whatever Joseph was. And so it was a binding agreement. And therefore, if Joseph wanted to say, look now, Mary, I can't believe this. This is ridiculous. I'm afraid we're going to have to break off the betrothal. It meant a meeting, a legally binding agreement was now to be broken. So it was a big thing. And then the third step would have been marriage. But so they're at step two. In other words, it was a very big deal for Joseph to back out now. A very big deal indeed. And the angel comes and says, don't be scared, Joseph. And I just think if I was in Joseph's shoes, I'd have probably been too scared seeing an angel. But I would have wanted to say, hang on, I can think of a number of reasons why I really ought to be scared. Number one, Mary, who I'm betrothed to, is telling me, expecting me to believe that she's having a baby without a man's intervention at all. That's pretty scary. You know, has she gone completely mad? Is she deranged? Or secondly, who am I talking to? I'm talking to an angel. If the thing with Mary is not scary, an angel has come to talk to me. Don't be scared. I was not in a dissimilar position just over 30 years ago. I think it's on the website, my testimony, where there were just remarkable things happening. Frightening. I didn't know what was going on. I won't go into the details now. You can read it or ask me after if you're interested. But here's Joseph. Don't be scared, Joseph. But he's got every reason to be scared. He has three options. Publicly humiliate her, Mary, and say, do you know what she is? She's a tart. She's a scrubber. He could do that, humiliate her. Or he could, what he's thinking of doing, because he's a nice guy, he's thinking of just, we'll just try and keep this as quiet as possible, but we're going to have to go our separate ways. Or he could go ahead, believe all that he's heard, though it is absolutely out of this world. He can go ahead and say, I believe it, and marry her, as if everything's fine. As if the weird claims are, in fact, true. I read this week, there was a survey in America this week. 84% of Americans say they're Christian. That's what got my attention. I thought, huh, right, let's read on there then. 82% of Americans say Jesus is the Son of God. But immediately, that don't make sense, does it? Because 84% say they're Christian, but only 82. It says 2% of those who say they're Christian don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. Where are we going? 79% believe the virgin birth. Where's the 5% gone now? 67% believe the Christmas story is totally accurate from start to finish. That's what they say they believe. But the demons believe. But it doesn't do them any good, does it? I had a Christmas card this week. I haven't sent any, as usual. Bad, very badly organized man. I had a Christmas card from a lady I worked with over 30 years ago. And I remember one break time, as she was working in the school, I imagined myself with a clipboard, and I just said to her, "Can I just ask you, as we're having a cup of coffee by now, do you believe in God?" "Yes." "Okay, check." "Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God?" "Yes." "Good, good, good." "Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for sinners?" "Yeah." "Oh, excellent," I said. "Right. Do you believe he's the only way to heaven?" "No," she said. "Hang on then. Well, let's go round again, because you cannot answer no to that question if you've answered yes to the first three. What do you believe, actually? What do you really believe?" I mean, could this story be true? Every bit of it, could it really be true? Could this really happen? But then, I suppose, if you just kind of sat back and looked dispassionately at it, just thinking, if they are expecting me to believe that the God who created everything by speaking, if they're expecting me to believe that that God actually came here, wouldn't you expect strange things to happen? If the one who could create everything suddenly turned up, wouldn't you expect weird phenomena? I think you would, wouldn't you? I mean, on November the 5th, we have fireworks and bonfires and things because, well, 400 years earlier, something happened, whatever it was. We know something happened, that we do this bonfire and fireworks thing because something happened. Well, here's Christmas. 2,000 years ago, something happened. What was it? Well, that varies, I suppose, exactly what do you think happened? But something happened, didn't it? Otherwise, we wouldn't be celebrating. We wouldn't go bananas buying all the presents that we do. Something amazing. Or was it just a good man came? Well, is the whole story true, though? Mary will have a baby. You'll name him Jesus. Why? Because Jesus means something. Savior. And then you got the reference to Emmanuel, God with us. We've got Henry and Caitlin there, and little Esther, she's with us, but God with us? I mean, could it really happen? I heard 10 minutes of interview, David Davis, the politician, two people know he is, okay, and Jeremy Vine saying, "David Davis, you know, everything has happened up until 15 days ago, you've predicted perfectly." "Yes. But," and David Davis said then, "but I haven't predicted what's happened in Westminster in the last fortnight. Who could have guessed?" So here's a man, he's predicted pretty well. Here's Almighty God, who knows everything, has planned everything. But then maybe you're sitting there thinking, "Yeah, I don't believe, but then I haven't seen an angel. What if an angel spoke to me, though? Then maybe I'd believe." As one of the atheists said years ago, "You know, if God would just part the sea, I'll believe." Well, God parted the sea years ago and loads of people didn't believe. The thing is, you don't need to hear an angel because you're hearing the word of God now. You heard it read, it's on the screen, and I am explaining it and preaching on it now. Lady I worked with, remember, she said, "I'm just the type to go to heaven. If God would only just send somebody to me." And I said, "He has. I'm here. That's why I'm telling you. That's why I'm talking to you." I heard on the radio last week a song by the band James. Anybody know the band James? The song, "Sit Down Next to Me." "Oh, sit down." You don't know it? There's a line in it. I like the song, very catchy. There's a line in it. "I hope God exists." I'd never noticed it before. I haven't listened to the words. And I thought, that's interesting. Got me thinking as I was driving. And then the next song was Queen, Freddie Mercury, "One Love," or whatever it is, "One True Religion." And I just thought, let me stick those two things together. If I had the band James and Queen, if I could get Freddie back, and just sit them down and say, let's just look at that now. You were hoping that God exists. You were saying one true religion. What do you mean, Freddie, by a true religion? How would you recognize it? Would it be something everybody is happy with? In other words, such a mishmash that there's no truth at all. How would you recognize the one true religion? I had the privilege of meeting a guy about 10 years ago, brought up in a Sikh family, a Sikh religion, in his teenage years, rejected it all, but went on a campaign, a search. I want to find out the truth, he said. He searched for over 20 years. Tried everything. You name it, he tried it. And then one day, he walked into a church that believed the Bible, and he heard the gospel, and immediately he just said, that's it. He'd been looking and looking and looking, without bias, just saying, I want to find the truth. I don't care where it is or what it is. I want to know the truth. How can you know? How can you know the one true religion? In John chapter 17, Jesus says, this is eternal life, to know you, the true and living God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. See, in America, ticking a box in a survey, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, that doesn't do anything. What does that do? Because your problem and my problem is we tolerate wrong easily, unless it's against us. But we tolerate wrong in the world. You say, oh, that's awful. But we don't, it doesn't bother us. And often we don't even think it's awful. We don't care because it doesn't affect us. Do you know, yesterday, I gave thanks for food in a public gathering. And at the end, somewhere, I must have said, forgive us our sins. And a lady said out loud, my wife heard it, I haven't got any. Can you believe that somebody would actually think they haven't got any guilt? No guilt at all. Had I known at the time, I think I would have sat next to her and said, I know you a little bit. Let's go through your life, love. Let's trawl through the years. See, because our problem is we see wrong, but we tolerate it. Unless it's against us personally, unless it's we're deeply offended, we tolerate wrong. But God is holy. He cannot tolerate it, and he won't tolerate it. There's our problem. See, heaven is perfect. There's no sin. I was just thinking this week. In heaven, nobody gets cancer. Nobody lies in a hospital bed just getting weaker and weaker and weaker. Nobody gets hurt. Nobody gets hurt. It sounds tremendous. It is tremendous. But the problem is us. There's a song Miley Cyrus was singing. Nothing breaks like the heart. That's a good line, isn't it? You can break a bone. You know, you can mend it within 5 or 6 weeks. But when you have had your heart broken, how many hearts have you broken? How many times have you had your own heart broken? How many times have you broken the heart of Almighty God? How many times have you broken the heart of Jesus? Have you any idea about the pain that you've caused him? Sheer neglect, for a start. Taking no notice at all. I was talking to somebody yesterday who was a Christian now, and the guy was looking back over the years before he was a Christian. He said, you know, I look back now, God was after me then. He was speaking to me then. Oh, and I just took no notice. And I could say exactly the same. And some of you, God's been after you for years, and you're just saying, not interested. Or you might have said it politely, or you might not have said it at all. You just, oh, I'm not going to listen anyway. The sheer neglect. You know, to sit next to somebody who totally ignores you, it's hard, isn't it, to take? And here's the amazing thing then. Here's the Christmas story. He comes here, not for nice religious people. He comes not for the righteous, not for people who fancy they're pretty good anyway. He comes for people who know full well they're absolutely useless. That's what he comes for. People who prepare to confess their sin, own up and say, Lord, I'm guilty. Take away my guilt. Somebody said to me last night, oh, to know you're free of sin. It's tremendous. Free. We're never going to be punished. You know, I read just yesterday morning, Psalm 38. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. That's it. That is it. And that is, you know, you must come there. You must got to see. You've got to be honestly looking at your sin and see it until it overwhelms you and say, I've got to get rid of this. You'll never become a Christian. And you'll never, ever get to heaven. You know, to meet somebody like Stella at the bedside of her dying husband and then at the bedside of her dead husband and trusting God that he's done what's right and knowing that Derek is in heaven and knowing that very soon she'll be there as well. Have you got that? Amen.